Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Mutton Cup News. It's Thursday, the 23rd of October, 2025. It seems to me the markets want to rally, you know? They want to rally higher, but then you get Trump throwing the old social media bomb in the mix and it upsets markets a bit. But I think they are still twitchy. On the webinar last night, I went through several reasons why the S&P 500 is sort of overvalued and in a bit of a worrying area. But it can still go higher. Like I said, you know, markets can keep going higher because more money inflow comes in. That is momentum. Don't stand in the way of momentum. It's like a big snowball rolling down a hill. You don't want to get in the way of that, do you? Oh, by the way, if you're a reader of Investors Chronicle, you will see tomorrow the front page story is written by me, which is quite nice. So by all means, if you happen, you know, if you're passing a newsagent tomorrow and you see the Investors Chronicle, by all means, buy a copy if you could. I'll share the link tomorrow because it's not until tomorrow, but you can buy it from newsagents and online tomorrow, all that stuff, and I'll share that. But it's about the seven traits of seven 10-baggers. These are companies that have done over 1,000%. And I look at seven traits they all share. So I'm not talking about looking for 10 baggers. It's basically looking about quality businesses that have done very well. They look at why they did well, just digging a little bit deeper as to maybe what to look for in future winners. Hopefully it'll help you in your research if you just keep those 7 points in mind when doing research on a company. Oh, by the way, for members, I've made two investments today. One's quite speculative, sort of high-risk reward play. The other is not so much, but I've always been, for a long time, we all know about this, AI and the benefits of AI, and way to look to get some exposure to this AI boom, because unless you hold some, big stocks like NVIDIA or stuff like that, then you're not going to benefit. So in the UK, what companies will benefit from data centers in the UK? And I found a company, it's very interesting. And why this is the case, why you should look at this, people always say, follow the money. Show me the money. So follow the money. And I read this last night, and it made me invest in something today because of this. So this is you can find this on Reuters. So it's entitled, UK Data Center Spend to Soar to £10 billion a year. And this is from Barber ABI, a research company. So spending on new data centers is set to rise to £10 billion a year by 2029, more than fivefold increase from 2024. Analysis by construction data firm Barber ABI has found. A total of £1.75 billion was spent on data centers in the UK last year, with £2.38 billion forecast to be spent in 2025. So almost, close to, not quite double, but 60-70% more in 25. That's a heck of a lot of spend. AI-driven demand is fueling data center investment. Tech giants are seen investing £25 billion into the UK over the next 5 years, Barber ABI found, and almost 100 new data centres are planned. Growth has been supported by government initiatives such as AI growth zones, which aim to streamline the planning process for new digital infrastructure. The largest planned UK data centre is a project worth $13 billion. It's a hyperscale data centre in northeast England proposed by the US private equity group Blackstone. And of course, if you remember last month, Britain and the US agreed a technology pact with top US firms including Microsoft, Nvidia and Google, amongst those pledging investments in the UK. So I think there's no doubt, you know, this is a very growing sector, we're expanding very quickly. But it's just a case of, okay, well, as an investor, you know, in the UK, how do I get exposure to that? So if you're a member, by all means, if you're not a member, it costs you £2.88 a week to become a member, that's all. But you can go to the blog section of the website, sharepickers.com, and read the article there on my holdings, and you'll see a new holding, and I've given a summary of this post and why I bought a certain or made an investment in a certain area. So I do think over the years it'll do quite well. It's a sort of sector I've been looking at for a long time. But there are probably other plays on it, but I just think you've got to have a bit of exposure to these fast-growing sectors, you know? I mean, because you're talking, you know, years of investment. So this will carry on, the money inflow will carry on for many years. Anyway, let's look at the market. So I'm recording this at close of play on Thursday, of course, 28 minutes past at the moment. So let's what's happening here. FTSE 100, all-time high. Where's the harmonica? That's the harmonica high. So we're up, if you have exposure to the FTSE, up 0.7%, 9,580. What's the chance it's going to 10,000 by the end of the year? I don't know. Stock 600, which is that's also an all-time high. Stock 600 is European, of course, bourses. That's also an all-time high. Up 0.4% to 574. The S&P 500, it's not far off an all-time high. You're talking, it's up 0.36% to 6723. And the high was what? 6753. So 30 points off an all-time high there. The small cap, FTSE small cap, it's not far off. It's a 52-month high, so it's up by 0.6%, 7349. Look at all these highs. That's bullish. Or could be bearish. Russell 2000 in the US, not far from all-time high, really, and it's at 0.7%, 2468. The FTSE 250 is that an all-time high? No, it's 2021 was the all-time high, but it's not far off that. It's up 0.5%, 22,347. The NASDAQ, again, close to an all-time high. This could be a round top here, a lower high in the S&P and NASDAQ. We'll see. It takes a while for momentum to come out of indices. But, you know, unless we break a new high here, we're not far off it. But if this is a lower high, then obviously that's not very bullish. What else? Let's look at the world. The FTSE World Index. Again, that's near an all-time high. So 656 was the high, and this is at today, 654. It's not a lot. And the AMOL share. Well, it's trying. It's just shy of 1%, 775. Of course, we did get up to almost 800. It didn't close there. They closed at 794 or 796. We're now at 775. So we've come back into that sort of range where 777 is the high and the low is 757. Let's look at commodities. Now, the interesting story here, of course, is Brent crude and oil, because Trump has now initiated sanctions on, Lukoil and Rosneft, Russia's two biggest oil producers, trying to get Putin to come to the table and stop talking nonsense. It angers me so much watching the news about Putin. He's just bombing civilians, killing children. Just someone to really, really do doing one, shouldn't they? I can't say it on the podcast. I can't probably get to But, you know, we all know what should happen to Putin. Of course, if you do that, there'll be a vacuum in Russia. And who knows what maniac will take over. So, you know, better the devil you know to a certain extent. And we've seen that in the Middle East. You take out, you know, key leaders and you have civil war then and a whole range of problems going on, humanitarian problems, all that stuff. So it's better to sort of, you know, cow the dog that you know. You know, bring the dog to heel that you know already. Otherwise, you have a pack of wild dogs running free rather than the alpha male dog, you know. It's better to have one alpha male dog controlling the masses rather than a pack of wild dogs running around. You get herd mentality then. I think I've taken that analogy too far already, to be honest. Anyway, Brent crude up 4.7%. I mean, it's trying to break through previous sort of support, which is now resistance, which is sort of 66. It has gone above that today, 66 and a bit. But if it rallies further, I did say a while back, so, you know, people talk about gold. And I said, well, listen, gold has rallied very hard. It's you know, it's a very crowded trade. Whenever you get that, you're going to get a sort of a rollover sooner or later. And it did do that. It came down by the biggest drop it's ever had in one day since 2020. So in 5 years, pretty much. And people say there's still more upside in gold. There may be. But I think the big, you know, the easy, fast money has been made. Like I say, it didn't move. Gold tends not to move. It trades in a range for a couple of years and shoots up higher. And the breakout from that, I think, 2,100 range was the place to be. And so I think the place to look, really, is unloved commodities that you know are cyclical. Now, you could say that, you know, oil is in a downtrend, but it's not in a huge downtrend. It's still many, many years of oil demand. I think we've hit peak demand, but it's not going to drop off a cliff. So all you need is for demand to sort of be steady or dropping slowly and supply to drop down very quickly. And the price can rally, you know, and all of a sudden you get the sort of the thing that happened with gold, people are piling into it and the ETFs and all that stuff and it starts rallying. So, you know, all kind of a run here. Obviously not good for inflation. What else have we got here? Gold is back up again. It's a dipped, you know. Again, it's extremes. You have a big dip, and you know, a big bounce back. But will it reach that previous high? I don't know. Previously, when it's done this big rally, topped out, it's taken, in fact, I looked previously at the rally for till 2022, it hit 20,080, and then it came back to 1640. So, and then it, you know, so it can have these roll-ups. In fact, the breakout initially in gold was in June 19, is at $1,373, okay, and it traded in that range for how many years? Since 2016. And it broke out in 2018 and pretty much rallied to the top there at 2050 in August 20. And then it had that big fall off. Same as we just had. That's the last biggest fall in August 2020. And then it didn't really break new highs then for another, how many years? From July 20 to March 24. So you could, it did have a few spikes at that level and came back down. So you could see this now going sideways with a few spikes for a while. But like I said, unloved commodities are the place to look. And commodities are very cyclical. So unloved commodities that you know there's, you know, increasing demand going out. And part of me thinks, you know, lithium maybe, maybe uranium. I mean, they've had a little bit of a rally, but nothing, only the start. I do believe just the start of the rallies in those companies. But and it's just being patient, essentially, buying an ETF on lithium or uranium and just, you know, being patient. Okay, what about copper? So that is up also. Gold's up, by the way, 2.27% to $4,158 an ounce. And copper to the ton, it is at, I'm waiting for my internet load, $11,264 a ton, so that's rallying. I can't wait to get better internet. Apparently January I'm getting fibre to the premises. Well, now I'm on about 30 megabytes a second download. That's all I'm on, and I've got two kids who love gaming, and the gaming, the downloads on, even updates on their games are ridiculously big. They like suck all the internet out into their computer. It's like 80 gig of download for an update on some of their games, and we can't even watch Netflix, honestly. Netflix pixelates and does the worrying circle of doom when they start doing a game update. So we're going to go from apparently around about 30 megabytes a second download, I think up to about 900, which would be fantastic. Love that. So that's gold. What about Bitcoin? Bitcoin's rallying with the markets, up 2.27. Look at that. Bitcoin's up 2.27. Gold is up 2.27. And copper was just up 2.27%. Bitcoin's up to $109,973. And by the way, yesterday, I didn't do a podcast because I had the webinar, but we had CPI data come in, inflation data, which was the same as last month, 3.8%. So way above target of 2%. But there was forecast for it to be higher, I think 3.9. So you got government bond yields. So bonds prices rallied, yields came down, which is very good for Rachel Reeves. And, you know, it's good for the Bank of England because they've got, you know, a single mandate, the Bank of England, just to look after stable prices, unlike the Fed, which is prices and fullest employment. If inflation is not a threat, I think the Bank of England forecasts around about 4%. They said it'll peak out at. So they're seeing this as the peak for now. So if that's the case and it's going to plan, then I think bets for an interest rate reduction this year are now on the table. Some people are saying probably December, probably be a quarter of a point because, you know, Bailey. No, we've got to be very careful. Very careful. We've got to take it steady. Might break something. But at least now, you know, people are thinking, okay. And we have a few more data points before that happens. But we could be seeing interest rates coming down by a quarter of a percentage point in December. Some are saying it won't happen in November. That's too early. But I have a lot more data to work off by the December. So that maybe that will happen. Okay, so, but the bond yields came down yesterday, and we are looking now at a sort of multi, last time it was this low on the 2 year, was in May, so 2 year is at 3.8% pretty much, it's up 3.35% today, the yield, but it was down up 2 or 3% yesterday. 10 year is at 4, and that's the lower end of the range actually, these are the lower end of the recent ranges. So if it breaks down lower below this, it's quite good news. The 10-year is at 4.42, and that's up 0.2%. And the 30-year is up a tenth of 1% to 5.223. And like I said, this was at 5.6, almost back in early October, and now down at 5.2. Doesn't sound a lot, but it's quite a big move. So it's good news. Anyway, a pound, and because of that, you know, the pound has weakened a little bit because when you put interest rates down, of course, the currency weakens. So a pound is dropping a little bit, 0.24% against the euro. A pound will buy you €1.14 and will buy $1.33. I think that's about it, isn't it, really? Yeah, cover that off. Yeah, I've done that. Okay, sharepickers.com, the microcap database. In fact, it's called the small and microcap. It's not as catchy, is it? Because I cover small caps as well. So let's have a look at some company news, sharepickers.com, for the price of Jumbo Savaloy from the Ship Shop. You can get membership on a weekly basis, 40% off right now. And by all means, do that. So, first and foremost, Foxtons. We all know who they are, don't we? They did a Q3 2025 trading update. Of course, Foxtons is London's leading estate agency and largest letting agency brand with a portfolio of over 31,000 tenancies. So at 54 pence a share, market cap of 158 million, enterprise value of 171.5. And let's have a look at what they say, basically. Let's look at my comments to summarise it. By the way, on the database, for every company, you can see the metrics on a company. That is share price, target price, upside, market cap, enterprise value, earnings ratio, price earnings growth ratio, cash, debt, dividend yield, debt to next results, the scores, description, and also down below that, summary of full year results, half year results, forecasts, broker comments, recent news, chart, and my comments. And that's only on the database. On the Microcap League, you get a lot more data than that. Yeah. So anyway, let's scroll down. So The company has released a cautious year-end outlook statement, which is due to the upcoming budget. However, if the uncertainty surrounding the housing market is removed after the budget, then this could benefit. So they said sales is likely to remain subdued for the rest of the year, in particular in the run-up to the delayed autumn budget, which is creating additional market uncertainty. Don't let me think about Rachel Reeves anymore. How many errors of judgment can that lady make? Creating additional market uncertainty and making it more challenging than usual to accurately predict Q4 sales revenue. As a consequence, there's a risk that Q4 sales revenue falls below management's expectations. So, a bit of a warning there. So looking at, for 2025, they're looking at top line growth of 6% to £174 million, net profit dropping by 13% to 12.2. That will put them on a PE of 13, EV earnings of 14. But as with all property plays, if interest rates come down and the passing of the budget, it could benefit them, you know. In the meantime, 64% of the group revenue and 74% of group profit contribution comes from lettings. So it's not wholly, you know, reliant on the sales market. For 2026, top line growth of 7%, net profit growth then of 34% to 16.3, P of 10, EV earnings of 11. I think it's worth a watch. I really do Foxons because, like I said, it all depends on a couple of data points, but we sort of know interest rates coming down, whether they start the end of this year or next year, and we sort of know the uncertainty of the budget will pass. And I think once that passes, it'll be a benefit for companies like this. Next, Gattaca. I just listened to Gattaca. I was walking the dog. I tried to listen to, if there's one available, a company day on the Investor Meet platform. If you're not part of that, by all means, you know, sign up for that. It's free. Investor Meet Company. What is the actual? InvestorMeetCompany.com. Like I said, it's free to sign up, and companies do all interviews on there. And you can also listen to the podcast, which I do. You can't see the charts, of course, which is quite annoying. But nevertheless, you get a sense of what the company's about. So Gattaca released their final results today. GATC is ticker. They're a human capital resource business, so recruitment, which provides contract and permanent recruitment services in the private and public sectors. Its segments include mobility, energy, defence, technology, media and telecoms, infrastructure, Gattaca Projects, international and other. George Materna, founder, owns 25.62%. So at 90 pence a share, in fact, is that 90 or 9? Let's see where it went up today. Gattaca. Yeah, it's up to 95 pence. So it went up to buy 12.43% today. Anyway, 90 pence a share, 28 million market cap, and they got 17 million of cash. So enterprise value, 10, no debt. I like to see that. So let's scroll down here. So these are some financial highlights for the full year 2025. Revenue, 398.9 million, up 2%. Now you may think, oh, it's a heck of a lot for a market cap like that. But recruitment companies, it's not about revenue because it's about net fee income because their margins are quite slim. But net profit did grow 142% to 1.86 million. So it's from a low base. And they had a bit of a tougher year last year. Net cash did drop 25% to 17.1. Free cash outflow of 3 million versus inflow of 3.4. Like I say here, they are decent results in a tough recruitment environment. These numbers were previously downgraded, but looking forward, there's some expected growth. So they're expecting for 26, top line growth of 9% to 436 million, net profit of 2.7 million. That's growth of 45%. That puts them on a PE of 10, EV earnings of 4. And further growth is expected in 26 and 27. 6% for 26, a top line. But for 26, net profit of 4 million. That's up 48% on 2.7 million of 2027. So And that's a PE of 7. So I'm thinking here, good dividend, strong balance sheet. This, along with their strategic initiatives, could make them one of the better recovery plays when that recovery happens, but it also gives them optionality to add on, you know, bolt-on acquisitions. Maybe worth watching, I think, you know, because it's a strong balance sheet, and they are, like I said, they've been doing it, listening to the podcast today, so they've been, you know, undertaking a sort of internal review now to streamline and focus the company for over 3 years. So even the downturn, the recent downturn in numbers and employment numbers from ONS is not affecting them, because they've become more focused on, you know, areas of opportunity where they specialise in, and they've right-sized the company already. So I think, you know, regardless of the gloom out there about industry numbers, you can have recruitment, you know, companies doing quite well if they're switched on, you know. Let's do one more, shall we? Shoe Zone, LBG Media, SRT Marine. I want to do SRT Marine. LBG Media, right? Lads Bible Group. In Lads Bible, they've changed it from, you know, it's not PC anymore, it's the Lads Bible, is it? And it's a bit, they see it as being a bit, I think they've changed the name, to be honest. I think we've become a bit more woke, haven't we? And people think, oh, it's Lads Bible. I don't know if we want to be advertising into that demographic, even though it's changed a lot. So they help brands reach young adults on social media platforms, such as Facebook, Instagram, Snap, Chat, X, YouTube, and TikTok. On our owned and operated websites, we produce and distribute digital content, such as videos, editorial, images, and audio. So at 96 pence a share, they are market cap of 203 million, enterprise value 176. What did they release today? Full year trading update this was. Full year trading update for Lads Bible. So let's have a look. They said the board remains confident of the growth outlook for 26, reflecting LBG Media's diversified model, a healthy pipeline in the US and the UK, and the group's strong audience engagement. So this is off a decent set of half-year results, which they had revenue of up 13% to 44 million, net profit up 310% to 6.3, net cash of 33 million, up 66%, and free cash flow of 9.8 million versus outflow of 9.8. So for forecast for 25, they're looking at 42% top-line growth to 92.2 million, net profit up 47% to 13.2, gives them a PE of 15, enterprise earnings of 13, and 2026 is expected to show growth again. 10% top line, 101.4. That's up 10%. And net profit up 8% to 14.3. So like I said, and that would put them on a PE of 14, EV earnings of 12. My only concern here is, you know, will they benefit from AI or not? That's the thing, isn't it? Are people utilising this as a tool? If they're ignoring it and carrying on doing what they're doing without using AI, then they may get left behind. Also, another concern is just the change in platform algorithms. You know, these social media companies and search engines they have, they can change it overnight. And all of a sudden it affects your engagement and therefore your revenue. Nevertheless, I mean, based on these figures, it's a little bit above, apparently, peers' valuations. But the growth and the margins are better as well. So LBG, worth a look, I think. There we are. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you want to, don't forget, Investors Chronicle, tomorrow. I'm the front page story, not me, the article I've written. It'd be odd if it's just about me. But so if you can, if you're passing a newsagent, please buy a copy, you know, and share it with everyone you know. And if you forget, I'll mention it tomorrow. And if you want to get membership to the Share Pickers Investment Club, go to sharepickers.com. You can claim 40% off, and that will get you a membership for a weekly amount of £2.88. That's the price of a latte. Less than the price of a latte. Less than the price of half a pint of beer. Half a pint of beer. Come on. You can't afford that. You shouldn't be investing, really. I'm not denying you half a pint of beer. I'm just saying you can have that as well. You know, half a pint of beer and you can scroll through the website. Fantastic. Thanks for listening. And I'll speak to you tomorrow. If no news out, I'll try and do something. And maybe I'll cover some companies I haven't covered this week, haven't got around to doing. But I'll definitely do a podcast tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a nice evening and speak to you tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.